As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to 5001, the Leicester City podcast by The Athletic. I'm Rob Tanner. Joining me as always, former Leicester City captain and my right-hand man, Mr. Matt Elliott. How are you, Matt?
Happy to be at your side, Rob, any day. And happy to have a chat. All things Leicester, as per usual.
Absolutely. And we've got some positive things to talk about this week. I know I've been a bit negative in the last couple of weeks, but going into this week, it was such an important week with two away games at Burnley and Brighton on the back of some disappointing performances. And a few doom and gloom predictions in the national media that the big collapse was going to be on for the second successive season and that the Champions League dream would fade away again. But they've given us hope this week, Matt, haven't they? By showing some real bottle in the face of adversity with the injuries mounting, still with Cengizunda now being added to that, although Wesley Fofana's come back into the fold. They went to Burnley and they went to Brighton. Both times they conceded an early goal. Both times they've come back to get points, vital points.
Well, we'll forgive you your premature pessimism, Rob. Although, to a degree, it's understandable because, you know, the anxiety was there, you know, largely because of the situation on the injury front, but also what occurred the back end of last season, isn't it? And you know, I think people are right to be mindful of that, and I think the players are right to be mindful of that, but channel it in a positive way, and I think they've managed to do that, Brendan Rodgers in particular. Because, you know, we spoke, okay, the two results, you know, against Prague and Arsenal, disappointing, worrying, concerning, yeah. But, you know, you looked at the games and they were coming thick and fast. It was Wednesday, Saturday, wasn't it? You thought, oh, all of a sudden, these games that Leicester were looking forward to not so long ago, all of a sudden, it looked like a real big challenge, didn't it? And, you know, Burnley away, it's never the easiest of fixtures and, you know, Brighton, everyone's talking them up, etc. But at the end of the day, you know, Brighton, without jumping the gun over Burnley, but Brighton won in 18 games. They've won at home, I think I'm right in saying. So, you know, there wasn't too much to be fearful of, although you wouldn't have guessed that in the first half, to be honest. But for me, they've approached it bang on because going into it, short of a good fair few players, key players at that as well. They had to change their approach, really, and how they were going to go about it. Knuckle down, grind things out, as we said, and, you know, just battle through and stay dogged and resolute and determined. And you maybe get something out of the game. And that proved to be the case. 4 points out of six. All things considered, a reasonable return, especially when you consider they went behind in both games. That, again, shows spirit going forward into the next 10 games. And I think, you know, the position that they're in at the moment, there's still a lot of work to be done, mind you. You know, teams below them are looking good, Chelsea in particular. West Ham and Everton won't go away, will they? And Tottenham are even lurking. And, I don't know, Liverpool might be a step too far for them, but they can't be written off just yet. But there's still a lot of work to be done, but they've got themselves in a healthy position now and players coming back into the fray as well.
Absolutely, because there were teams that were closing the gap and putting the pressure on Leicester. So they needed to respond. And Brendan desperately needed some players who have been fringe players, who have been on the outside, to step up to the plate. And Kelechi Iheanacho is the one that stood out as having done that in the last couple of games. Certainly, that goal at Brighton, a fantastic goal. Superb pass from Youri Tielemans, the little magician in midfield, with the giving the defence the old eyes and then rolling it into Kelechi's pass, but the composure for the finish, but also getting the Burnley performance as well. He's really stepped up now, Kelechi, because there were a lot of people questioning whether he was going to be a long-term answer for eventually when Jamie Vardy decides to hang up his boots.
Here's Tielemans, lovely ball, Iheanacho in, yeah! Goal! Kelechi Iheanacho with a beautifully taken goal.
Credit to him as well, because yeah, I think those questions will still be asked about taking over the mantle of Jamie Vardy down the line. Again, you know, he was saying there's some work for Leicester to be doing, some work for Kelechi Iheanacho to be doing if he wants to forge, you know, that sort of position. But we said it not long ago, though, Rob, didn't we? You know, people were saying Kelechi, you know, he'd had a couple of sort of unfortunate situations in games. And I think I've seen an article written by you, or certainly a clip by yourself, saying at times he looks so awkward and ungainly, and other times he looks like a natural predator and goal scorer. And, you know, his timing is bang on. He's such a conundrum. It must be for the manager. Yeah, it's strange because sometimes, you know, without being too critical, it's semi-comical at times, the way the ball's bumping around off him, and then all of a sudden, flick of a switch, he looks smooth as silk, doesn't he? He's got a lovely touch and good awareness, playing people in. He's a goal threat. So he's he's an unusual player, that's for sure. But like I say, he'd had a couple of indifferent games and times out on the pitch, you know, coming on a sub, etc., ineffective. But we said it a few weeks ago, they're going to have to stick with Kelechi. He's going to have a big part to play between then and the rest of the season. And so it's proved already. You know, Jamie Vardy's still not firing properly. Barnes is out, Maddison's out. Who's going to take responsibility? Fair play to Kelechi. When it's mattered, he's produced some top-class quality finishing and decent all-round performances as well.
Absolutely. He always seems to me like a confidence player. I know all players are ultimately confidence players, but him more so than most, because when he's confident, he's got a run of games and he's got a goal, more importantly, then he looks like the finisher that everybody talks about as being one of the most natural in the club. When he's going on a rough spell and perhaps there's a bit of negativity around him like he had early in the season where he's missing chances, then we see that other side of him that is the one that leaves you concerned about whether he can cut the mustard. But you're right, Jamie is obviously still trying to get back to full speed. As he did, he had a similar run last season.
Yeah,
he's not Superman, as I said in my piece. You know, he's the talisman, but he's not Superman. When he's got an impingement, which is the groin issue that has been hampering him, and he had the surgery, but he's still not up to speed. So they needed someone to step up. So fair play to Kelechi. But what about Danny Amati getting the winner? I mean, this still Danny Amati story is remarkable, isn't it? Losing 2 years of his career to a very serious ankle injury. He's come back. He's played in all sorts of different positions. He's not had a run in the side. He's been in and out. Again, he's had to step up because fortunes are with the injuries that he has to come in and play. And he's done a very good job. I know a lot of fans might not be totally convinced about him. And ordinarily, if James Justine was fit and that, he probably wouldn't be in the side. But he's still done a job for them when he's coming, and obviously to get that winner at Brighton, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's done superbly, really, hasn't he? You know, quietly, under the radar. I think the first game I remember him coming back into the lineup was against Man City away, and he played a little bit before that, maybe, but he came in and it raised a few eyebrows, and there was a change of system, and Amati was part of that, and you thought, oh, you know, a little bit apprehensive, really, weren't you? Thinking, oh, hang on, it's Man City we're up against here. Amati hasn't had any game time. You know, is he the man for the job? And he did exceptionally well. And every time he's been called upon, you can't fault him, really. Certainly not from, you know, a solid defensive point of view. You know, generally, he's been up to the task, hasn't he? He's not going to be flying forward and joining in creatively and etc. You know, the likes of Castagna, Ricardo, if he's playing in that fullback position, but the likes of Soyuncu and Fofana, you know, they like to sort of foray forward on occasion, don't they? That's not Amati's game. He's just Mr. Reliable, Mr. Dependable, isn't he? I think part of his problem was sort of finding a niche position for himself when he came to the club. I mean, he's had spells in midfield, fullback, and centre half, and still not quite sure exactly what is his best position. But his versatility has ended up being his strength in the end, and it's why he's got a few appearances under his belt this season. But I think everyone who's connected with Leicester City would be delighted for him. You know, what a wonderful attitude. To come, I didn't realise it was that long, Rob, to be fair. 2 years.
It was a long time. Yeah, he had a few setbacks as well when he was trying to come back.
That's not nice as well, is it? I mean, especially, you know, you're on the periphery of things and everything's changing and you're thinking, hang on a minute, you can sort of read the script and thinking, well, even when I do come back, I'm probably going to get edged out of the club. And up to now, that hasn't happened. And fair play to him. You know, he's been a very worthy contributor of Leicester's fortunes this season, hasn't he? And also, just quickly going back with Ian Acho, credit to him for that as well, because the problem with him was he might come, like, get a start, score, play well, but the next game he's not playing. So you'll never know whether he's going to get a run of games. If he gets a run of games, sorry, you know, if he can produce the goods. But at the moment, he is, and fair play to him as well. So those two have been, you know, a real, not a bonus as such, but, you know, a real boost for Leicester at a critical time, haven't they?
Absolutely. And another feature as well is the emergence of some youngsters. Now, we've seen Vontae Daly-Campbell come into the first team, make his debut. This time we saw Sidney Tavares make his full Premier League debut as well. What did you make of the young Portuguese lad? I say young Portuguese lad. He's lived nearly all his life in England, in Leicestershire. I think he lived a spell in Beaumont Leys. So he's as Leicester as it comes.
Proper Leicester.
proper Leicester. So, he almost marked his full debut with a goal as well.
Yeah, he did as well. If I'm honest, I thought he struggled a little bit with the pace early on. And I felt sorry for him a little bit because it didn't seem like a sort of natural position for him. It seemed as if he wasn't sure whether to play in a flattish three in midfield or whether he was meant to be advanced, you know, sort of supporting the front two, Ian Acho and Vardy. And, you know, it's difficult to, you know, to come to terms with that. You know, it's your debut and everything's going on, the hurly-burly nature of the Premier League. And Brighton were on it in the first half, weren't they? And the ball was zipping around and it all seemed a little bit too much for him because he's quite a sort of languid styled player, isn't he? You know, he's quite casual naturally. Not saying, you know, that's just the impression that he gives. You know, he's quite relaxed on the ball. But fair play to him, the confidence he had to attempt that strike. You know, that half volley, wasn't it? Sort of on the up. Wonderful strike. And keeper Sanchez, you know, did well to save it because he was half obscured by one of his defenders. It went the wrong side of him. He was almost caught out by it, but it made a great save. And what a boost that would have been. Talking about boosts with Ian Acho and Amate, but, you know, for Tavares himself individually. And I think from that moment on, he raised his game. And I think that gave him a little bit of impetus, a little bit of confidence. And I thought he did pretty well for the remainder of the game. Listen, the debut came earlier than Brendan Rodgers would have foreseen. But fair play to him as well. Again, another player who stood up when counted.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX is Welcome to Wrexham. Premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
I've done a piece this week that's going to appear on the Athletic website looking at Kasper Schmeichel's form. And over the last 2 years, he has really hit top form under Brendan Rodgers. I don't know what it is about Brendan. We'll talk about Brendan shortly, but why suddenly he's improved. I mean, last season he had a settled back four in front of him for most of the campaign. This season, he's had probably a different back four or different back five in front of him this season. But his performances have been of such a consistent level. It looks like to me he's coming into the prime of his career now. I mean, some of the saves that he's produced lately, most notably the one to deny Chris Wood at Burnley, have been a top draw. Now, I asked Brendan whether he doesn't get the credit he deserves, Kasper. In fact, is he underrated? And if he was at a Man United or a Man City, probably would he be getting the credit he deserves? Interestingly, he agreed with me. So, it's something that Kasper's really, he's really coming to the fore now. And he's had to step up as the leader as well with Wes and his injury on the field. And we certainly hear that on a daily basis with no fans in the ground. We hear him yelling, keeping everybody in the toes, including the officials.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've spoken about Kasper on a couple of occasions, but of late in particular, I suppose the list is growing, really, in terms of players standing up when it matters, really, and him more than most, really, because he's been consistently good for a number of years, hasn't he? Yeah, and I think he is underrated, not necessarily undervalued by Leicester City supporters, but underrated in general. There is definitely an element of the, you know, little old Leicester, I think, without a doubt. You know, people almost condescending. Oh, yeah, Kasper, he's a very good goalkeeper, you know. Yeah, he played well for Denmark in the Euros or the World Cup, etc. And they don't really compare him with, like, not instinctively, you know, with the, in brackets, the big six goalkeepers, do they? But he's every bit as good as any of them, I think, without a doubt. And he's shown that of late. I think for me, it's his approach. And I hear other players that have played with him, Dean Hammond, for instance, you know, talks glowingly about his attitude, his desire, his will to win, his will to be as best he can and also get the best out of others. And, you know, when that's done in the right way, it's so advantageous for, you know, the whole squad and the club generally, isn't it? You know, that's demanding the best of other players. And then if you do that, you've got to produce yourself, because otherwise you look a little bit silly. But Kasper has earned the right to do that with his performances, not just of late, over the last however many years it is now. I think it's 9 years or so, I think, isn't it? And it looks like he's got a few more years in him as well, I would imagine. It's been a wonderful, wonderful acquisition for Leicester. Not bad for a fat lad, Rob, eh?
Well, I think he's not going to be far off breaking Mark Wallington's appearance record for a goalkeeper at Leicester City, and that will cement him in the club's folklore. But whilst he's raising the decibels on the pitch, we understand it was Brendan that was raising the decibels at half-time at the Amex Stadium. Now, anybody knows Brendan, he's not a shouter and a baller. He's a very methodical, thoughtful guy, and he tries to emphasise the positive to bring out the best in players. But at Burnley, they started slow and they lacked aggression and physicality and intensity in the first half. It was the same at Brighton. So he got amongst them a little bit at half-time. He said, "We had to look at things at half-time. We were outstanding in the second half. The players were brilliant. It was a change of mindset. We needed to be more aggressive. Once we did that, we had more energy on the ball." He's showing that he's going to have to get into these players sometimes as well if they start to, because it's very easy for them to have ready-made excuses at this stage with so many key players out. You know, it'd be easy for them psychologically to let the season drift, but he's not going to let this happen.
No, I'm quite right too. I think you're right there. You know, you in terms of the players can start looking around, and some of the excuses are there in front of them. They're ready-made. You know, some people would say semi-justified, but you've got to be stronger than that. You know, what a shame it would be to let everything not go to waste, but, you know, take a downward curve after all the good efforts that they've put in, not just this season, you know, last season as well. Okay, you know, it didn't end as it was hoped for, but still achieved European football, and they had a decent go at that, particularly obviously in the group stages, ended disappointingly. But they'd be looking to develop that side of things and feature in Europe regularly. And the threat is still there for that not to happen this year, and in particular the Champions League. But you can't undo all that hard work, those wonderful scintillating performances, that good football and beautiful goals, etc., and patterns of play, and digging in and everything that goes with the performances that they produced, particularly away from home. You don't let that go easily. And I think perhaps Brendan Rodgers, as you say, I think more and more managers, it seems the case these days, more about giving information and more constructive, and it's more sort of pragmatic, shall we say, and rather than up and at them, get the troops rallied mentality. But sometimes you need a little bit, of motivation, inspiration, shall we say, a little bit of not a kick up the backside, but a reminder. Come on, boys, you've got to show spirit, work hard, commitment first and foremost, and then your football inside comes through. And you could almost see it, couldn't you? You could almost see it at Burnley. Like you say, they should be ready. And I'm sure he'll say, listen, they're a physical, robust side. But sometimes if you can put it across in quite a mild manner and just give them the facts, it doesn't rile them up. So maybe they need a stirring then. And again, against Brighton, exactly. I thought Brighton contributed to their own downfall, by the way, which is why they've got such a shocking record at home, because they're not a bad footballing side, are they? We saw that in the first half. But rather than go for the killer second goal, they just sit off and concede the advantage to the opposition team. That's exactly what Leicester wanted. Leicester seized upon the opportunity with that change of mentality, which ultimately got their reward. Brighton do it week in, week out, don't they? They fail to take advantage of good situations. And they don't seem too fazed by it. I don't know. Strange mentality, really. But fair play to Leicester. Yeah, fair play to Brendan. I thought he would change to a back four because they were all over the shop in the first half. Couldn't handle Brighton's movement. But that change in attitude and mentality alone, not necessarily tactically, made the difference. And that's encouraging, isn't it? Because it shows that Leicester are not going to be shrinking violets on the final running.
Perhaps Graham Potter should have got amongst these players and raised the decibel level as well. I mean, I imagine it was something in your day that Martin O'Neill did on a regular basis. And I imagine there's a danger of overdoing that sort of for effect. Oh, here we go. The gaffer's shouting at us again. But what was Martin like?
Yeah, no, you're right there. Lots of managers, shouters and ballers, and used to rule by fear, really. Not in Martin's case, necessarily. It was respect, not fear, but yeah, they would really get in people's faces, and it only has effect for so long, doesn't it? And Martin would do it quite regularly when we weren't expecting it, which has even more effect. And we thought we might have played quite well, but we might be 1-0 up, and he'd be ranting and raving, say, should be 3-0 up, the game should be killed off. If you lose this game, you'll be in tomorrow. So it was that sort of mentality at times. But also, I say we respected him. We did fear him as well, to be honest. We feared the wrath of him, which was part of the reason we were so determined and hardworking. And, we just kept... Well, Walshy nicked and named us, the grinders, but we just gave our all in every game because Martin was the same. They say that teams reflect their managers, and I think we did that a little bit because he gave every ounce of energy and enthusiasm into his management style, and to a degree, we like to think we did as players as well. And we were determined not to get a negative result because Martin wouldn't speak to us for 3 days, literally would not talk to us. It sounds a bit childish and immature, but that's how it was. If we won, he would cuddle us, and unfortunately John Robertson would kiss us for the next 3 days. But it was like that. But it's less and less a feature of management or coaching these days, but there's a time and a place for it, and I think Saturday evening was that time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
That extended Leicester City's fantastic away record. Only one defeat on the road this season. The best record.
Crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
In the division. But in contrast, the home form has been pretty poor this season. It's been very, very inconsistent. And now they play rock bottom Sheffield United on Sunday, which everybody's going to be expecting Leicester to easily win. It doesn't always work that way. It certainly hasn't worked that way at home. This is what it's a bit of a nerves around the KP Stadium when Leicester are at home now.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange how it's gone. I mean, a lot of teams these days do seem more comfortable playing. You know, that's the star where they're sitting deep and you're nice and secure and they got the shape and they just rely on creating three or four situations in a game rather than hammering, you know, the door down constantly throughout a game. And yeah, Leicester get caught out on a few occasions, don't they? For whatever reason, it is a bit perplexing, really, because we talk about the, you know, the flexibility of Leicester and how they're capable of winning in different ways. You would have thought they'd be able to manage their way through at home more often than they do, but I think it's going to be far from easy. Leicester have got no easy games between now and the end of the season. You know, okay, there may be one or two players back in the reckoning, but you know, they're still missing Barnes and probably Maddison, two hugely influential players. So it's still going to be, you know, they're going to have to be a doggedness about the performance. You could hope that Sheffield United are maybe starting to see the door closing on them a touch, maybe, because they, you know, they're still putting a good shift in more often than not. Occasionally their levels drop, but there will be a stage towards the end of the season where, you know, the resignation of their fate being sealed will affect their performances, and I think it's getting close to that point. But Leicester are going to have to work hard. Going to have to work hard in every game between now and the end of the season. And we know Sheffield United's reputation. So far from a foregone conclusion, but fancy them though. Fancy them. You got to off the back of that Brighton victory, confidence be high, be re-energised. They've had a week off, first time in Lord knows how long. They've had a free week, so hopefully be raring to go at the weekend.
Absolutely. I suppose there's a little bit extra pressure on it as well when you consider that the following two fixtures are Man City and West Ham. Now, obviously, West Ham's the biggest one there for Leicester's Champions League aspirations. So a little bit more pressure on them. But hopefully, Matt, when we meet again next week on 5,000-1, we'll be discussing another morale-boosting victory. Not any midweek games coming up now for quite a while, so the lads get a bit of a chance to recharge the batteries, and Johnny Evans could be back for the Sheffield United game. Ozie Perez is expected to be back in training as well, with a view to be returning in the coming weeks. So there might be a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Schenker's under, though. We don't know how long he's going to be. Brendan said a couple of weeks, but he hasn't really featured that much anyway. But certainly getting some key players back will be a boost.
Yeah, it all helps, doesn't it? You know, the bigger numbers, the more options, the more the capabilities of the squad. And as we've seen, you know, lots of these individuals have got a part to play. You know, it is a collective, despite having star names within the squad. It's very much a collective. And I think you'll see that, you know, with pretty much every team, really, Man City included. Leicester are no different. It was never going to be the same starting 11 from beginning to end. And yeah, Leicester's strength in depth of squad has been tested to the full, that's for sure. But more often than not, they come up with the goods, and I expect them to do so at the weekend as well.
Brilliant, Matt. Thank you very much for joining us again this week. Matt, we'll speak again next week.
Hopefully so, mate. Look forward to it.
Cheers, and thank you all for listening.
The Athletic.